this country, you know, we're so much better than we give ourselves credit for. It's a hologram. Racism in this country is a hologram. It's a tool used by the powers that be to keep us, the populace, looking at each other instead of looking up and seeing what they're doing. Okay? You know, all it is a distraction. And it's been working for a long time. Even in the 60s and 70s, we got all the legislation passed, Civil Rights Act, Voter Registration Act passed, okay? All these wonderful bills that really leveled the playing field, okay? We had integration. We had people going to school with people of different races, okay? People were getting to know each other and realize there's no difference, okay? Forces that be still wanted us looking at each other, all right? And they used it, you know? White people are like, oh, don't go over there. Those black people, they're stealing white babies. Oh, Lord, Jesus, just stay away from them black people. The black people are going to get you, all right? And black folks, y'all were the same thing. Those cracker-ass white people. They're putting stuff in chicken, make your junk fall off. Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. That's right. And make a thing drop right off. Sure will. And why did they have us looking at each other so we wouldn't look up and see how the reason we were in Vietnam wasn't a real reason at all? The Gulf of Tonkin incident was a radar glitch. Okay? But we used it as an escalation point. And what did that cost us? Over 58,000 U.S. lives. Okay? Hundreds of thousands more injured. Okay? What did it cost the country of Vietnam? 1 million people. Okay? And then they got their way. And we obviously don't give a damn because we're trading with them. They make our Nikes, okay? You know? Right? Right. We don't mind. Okay? It doesn't make any sense. But in the 70s, man, white and black were starting to see eye to eye. Things were getting together. Okay? It was disco. Number one show in the country was Sanford and Son. Number three show was Good Times. All right? Why? Because they were well-written shows, but also they showed a different perspective. And white people realized that there's not that much difference between white and black. Okay? The truth of the matter is, it's rich and poor. Like where I grew up in Arkansas, there was no black or white. We're all broke. Okay? What's your color? Poor. Okay? You know? And that's the truth of the matter, you know? When you eat your cereal out of a Cool Whip bowl stained with chili or spaghetti sauce, does it really matter if you're black or you're white? You're broke. You're broke. And, you know, then the 80s happened, and we had this huge influx of Latinos coming north because of a depression in Mexico, and Cuba gets rid of everybody that's not pro-Fidel, and white and black hadn't learned a lesson over the last 20 years. They're all sitting around going, who are all these beaners, all these brown people coming to our country, these beaner-ass beaners? All right, and then somebody's like, maybe you tried their food? That stuff's delicious. And they're like, what, for real? Good as hell, son, delicious, all right? I met the first Mexican I met was in 1982, June 17th, glorious day, okay? It was a hot day in Arkansas. It was 108, 100% humidity, and it wasn't raining. When the wind blew, it felt like a dog was breathing on you. And I got a knock on the door, and there's a little Mexican fella with his hat in his hand saying he'd mow my yard for $10. And I'm like, goddamn right you will, all right? You're coming to do it next week, too. And why not? My mom paid me $20 to do it, you know? I figured I'd give him 10. I made 10. Now I'm a supervisor. This is awesome. Okay? In the 80s, we had the Soviets. That was the big thing. Everybody thought the Soviets were going to get us. I remember those commercials where they showed us, and they never showed us what real Soviet kids look like. We never would have pointed our missiles at them. That's not our country, you know? Blonde hair, blue eyes, whiter than we are, going, excuse me, sir, can I have some more? All right? You know? We never would have blown those kids up. What did we see? We saw guys in big furry hats, goose-stepping like the Wicked Witch of the West Guard. Oh-wee-ho, oh, oh. All right? And big missiles on big trucks and bears. I was more scared of the bears than I was the bombs. I didn't know what a nuclear was at 10. I knew if they dropped those bears on us, we're fucked. Okay? Those bears, oh, God, they're everywhere. And that's why we made movies during the 80s like Red Dawn, where we showed those dirty Soviets killing Soda Pop and Pony Boy and somebody putting Baby in the corner and Wolverines. And then Judd Nelson ended, he had his hand up like that. I know. What's funny is no one under 25 realizes I just melted four movies into one. That's what's funny. All right? But, you got some Netflix homework to do, player. You got some Netflix homework to do. But in 1991, after we bankrupted the Soviet Union and it broke up, basically, we experienced the greatest amount of growth any nation's ever experienced in the history of the world. Why? Because white, black, and brown were finally working together, okay? And that we were living Dr. King's dream, okay? That we were working together. And all that changed on a Tuesday morning in 2001 when Arabs flew airplanes into buildings and boom, we had a brand new race war. We had white, black, and brown versus a new kind of brown, okay? And and that's where we're at now, okay? The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you tonight. Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah. The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you. That's the new boogeyman. Whatever you do, don't look in a mirror and say Muslim 3 times. One of them stinky unibrow sons of bitches will show up right behind you with a big-ass turbine, beard, genie bottle in one hand, magic carpet in the other, dynamite belt. Last thing you'll smell is couscous, camel hump, and diesel fuel. Boom! Then he blows you up. Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. Because the Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you tonight. Allah, Allah. Allah. They want us to be afraid. I'm sorry. I have a real hard time being afraid of a dude who's wearing a dress down below his knees and flip-flops, okay? If you're dressed like my mama going down to Galveston Beach, I'm really not that afraid of you, you know what I'm saying? You're kind of dressed like a pussy, dude, you know what I mean? Maybe that's just the Southern in me, but if I could stub your toe and put you out of the fight, I'm not really that afraid, okay? But it is interesting, you know, since then, what's happened, and we just allow it to, you know? We allow the government to listen to our phones and our emails and everything, and we just give up our personal liberties. And Benjamin Franklin said it best. If you give up liberty for security, you deserve neither and you will get neither. Do you understand what I mean? Okay? It's not our country. We have to get back to who we are as a kind of nation. They can kill an individual, but they didn't kill America. Okay? There's no way they could kill America, okay? Because America's not a thing. It's a dream. It's a way of thinking. It's a group of people from all corners of the earth living under a document that starts with 3 simple words, we the people. And people forget about that. You know, they think that, oh, they're going to get us. No, they're not. All right? And who are we fighting? 1% of 1%. Okay, there's 1.8 billion of them, okay? We're fighting 1% of 1% of them, okay? That's who we're fighting. And who are we fighting them with? The best of our world, our U.S. servicemen and women. These guys are incredible. They're incredible, aren't they? Amazing. In 22 years of stand-up, I've been in 19 USO tours, and it's awe-inspiring to see these men and women. These are guys that give up their whole lives, and the people they leave behind, your families, you are the unsung heroes too, because you didn't volunteer, okay? You know, your son or daughter did, or your husband or your wife did. You know, you people left behind have a burden to bear too, because you're afraid every time you watch CNN or something that your child's name might scroll across the bottom. Thank you for your sacrifice. I hope this nation is good enough to give them back to you. You know. They're incredible. They really are. They're amazing, amazing people, you know? And they do a great job. I remember I was in Iraq in 2003, and we were there. We were the first USO tour in. And, I didn't see anybody sleeping in bunks, in mattresses. They were sleeping in ditches, okay? The weather was 135 degrees during the day. It dropped down to a brisk 112 at night. And it was really just a relief. It was just like so nice. Oh my God. And it's like, ooh, is this parka weather? Oh, I love it. It's getting crisp. Mm. They were so afraid of me getting dehydrated, even though they were under a water ration where they only got to drink a liter and a half a day, they would give me some of their water because they were afraid because I'm fat. I'm like, no, I'm like a camel. Trust me, brother. I got it. I got it. I'll be fine. Thank you. You keep it for you. And they would give up their water for me. I mean, do you know what I mean? That's who these people are, you know? When they raise their hand to protect this nation and its constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, they do. They live by words like service and duty and honor. They're incredible men and women. And then I see how they're treated. You know, none of the Humvees I drove in had anything but canvas doors. They weren't armored, okay? And it's like the safest place in Iraq was on the inside of me. You know what I mean? It's like... Let Ralph have the window, okay? Let Ralphie. All right. It had to be a big-ass bomb to get through Ralphie, okay? And I was like, oh, everybody's letting me ride shotgun. That's so nice. I didn't realize until I left. Those sons of bitches. And you can't blame them, you know? We send them to war with half their equipment. We expect them to do a full job. It doesn't make any sense, you know? But I did notice something striking, because I've done also shows in prisons. And everybody there has a bunk, and everybody there gets at least 3 showers a week, depending on their sex life. Somehow we treating our prisoners better than we do our military, and I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I go to Walter Reed, and I meet men and women who've left their legs and arms in Southwest Asia, and these guys, they tell me, go, Ralphie, I wish they'd blown my hand off, my right hand, so I didn't have to fill out so much goddamn paperwork, you know? I'm amazed. You know, these guys, they're our best. If I was ever going to run for office, and by the way, I'm not going to do it if I do it for a long time, because A, I don't want to take the pay cut. B, I'm going to get assassinated really quick, okay? You don't have to be a good shot to kill me, you know what I mean? You can shoot up, hit my fat ass, okay? All right. But if I was going to run for office, I would move to make it a constitutional amendment that if you do certain crimes, you don't get to be a citizen anymore. And I'll clean out our jails. Murder, rape, pedophile, okay, all go. You know, because it's really hard to be an ex-murderer, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I used to kill people. Really? Okay, this interview's over. Yeah, I don't drink anymore, thank God. Man, I used to get rapey as hell. I get all drunk on Jaeger, and I just rape and rape and rape. Okay, I think, no, the position's been filled, but we'll keep your application on file.